Out of Season. On the 4 lira Peduzzi had earned by spading the hotel garden, he got quite drunk. He saw the young gentleman coming down the path and spoke to him mysteriously. The young gentleman said he had not eaten, but would be ready to go as soon as lunch was finished, 40 minutes or an hour. At the cantina near the bridge, they trusted him for 3 more grappas because he was so confident and mysterious about his job for the afternoon. It was a windy day with the sun coming out from behind clouds and then going under in sprinkles of rain. A wonderful day for trout fishing. The young gentleman came out of the hotel and asked him about the rods. Should his wife come behind with the rods? Yes, said Peduzzi. Let her follow us. The young gentleman went back into the hotel and spoke to his wife. He and Peduzzi started down the road. The young gentleman had a musette over his shoulder. Peduzzi saw the wife, who looked as young as the young gentleman and was wearing mountain boots and a blue beret, start out to follow them down the road, carrying the fishing rods, unjointed, one in each hand. Peduzzi didn't like her to be way back there.
"Signorina," he called, winking at the young gentleman. "Come up here and walk with us. Signora, come up here. Let us all walk together."
Peduzzi wanted them all three to walk down the street of Cortina together. The wife stayed behind, following rather sullenly.
"Signorina," Peduzzi called tenderly, "come up here with us."
The young gentleman looked back and shouted something. The wife stopped lagging behind and walked up. Everyone they met walking through the main street of the town, Peduzzi greeted elaborately.
"Buon Dio, Toro,"
tipping his hat. The bank clerk stared at him from the door of the fascist cafe. Groups of 3 and 4 people standing in front of the shop stared at the three. The workmen in their stone-powdered jackets working on the foundations of the new hotel looked up as they passed. Nobody spoke or gave any sign to them except the town beggar, lean and old, with a spittle-thickened beard, who lifted his hat as they passed. Peduzzi stopped in front of a store with the window full of bottles and brought his empty grappa bottle from an inside pocket of his old military coat.
"A little to drink, some masala for the signora, something to drink."
He gestured with the bottle. It was a wonderful day.
"Masala, you like masala, signorina, little masala?"
The wife stood sullenly. "You'll have to play up to this," she said. "I can't understand a word he says. He's drunk, isn't he?" The young gentleman appeared not to hear Peduzzi. He was thinking, what in hell makes him say Marsala? That's what Max Beerbaum drinks.
"Geld,"
Peduzzi said finally, taking hold of the young gentleman's sleeve. "Lira." He smiled, reluctant to press the subject, but needing to bring the young gentleman into action. The young gentleman took out his pocketbook and gave him a 10 lira note. Peduzzi went up the steps to the door of the Specialty of Domestic and Foreign Wine Shop. It was locked.
"It is closed until 2,
someone passing in the street said scornfully. Peduzzi came down the steps. He felt hurt.
"Never mind," he said. "We can get it at the Concordia."
They walked down the road to the Concordia 3 abreast. On the porch of the Concordia, where the rusty bobsleds were stacked, the young gentleman said,
"Was wollen Sie?"
Peduzzi handed him the 10 lira note folded over and over.
"Nothing," he said. "Anything."
He was embarrassed.
"Masala, maybe. I don't know." "Masala?"
The door of the Concordia shut on the young gentleman and the wife.
3 marsalas, said the young gentleman to the girl behind the pastry counter.
2, you mean? She asked. No, he said, 1 for a vecchio.
Oh, she said, a vecchio, and laughed, getting down the bottle.
She poured out the 3 muddy-looking drinks into 3 glasses. The wife was sitting at a table under the line of newspapers on sticks. The young gentleman put 1 of the marsalas in front of her. You might as well drink it, he said. Maybe it'll make you feel better. She sat and looked at the glass. The young gentleman went outside the door with a glass for Peduzzi, but could not see him. I don't know where he is, he said, coming back into the pastry room, carrying the glass. He wanted 1/4 of it, said the wife.
How much is 1/4 liter? The young gentleman asked the girl.
Of the Bianco, 1 lira?
No, of the Marsala. Put these 2 and 2, he said, giving her his own glass and the one poured for Perduzzi. She filled the quarter-liter wine measure with a funnel.
A bottle to carry it, said the young gentleman.
She went to hunt for a bottle. It all amused her. I'm sorry you feel so rotten, Tiny, he said. I'm sorry I talked the way I did at lunch. We were both getting at the same thing from different angles.
Doesn't make any difference, she said. None of it makes any difference.
Are you too cold? He asked. I wish you'd worn another sweater.
I've got on 3 sweaters.
The girl came in with a very slim brown bottle and poured the Marsala into it. The young gentleman paid 5 lira more. They went out the door. The girl was amused. Perduzzi was walking up and down at the other end, out of the wind and holding the rods.
Come on, he said. I will carry the rods.
What difference does it make if anybody sees them, huh? No one will trouble us. No one will make any trouble for me and Cortina. I know them at the Municipio. I have been a soldier. Everybody in this town likes me. I sell frogs. What if it is forbidden to fish? Not a thing. Nothing. No trouble. Big trout, I tell you. Lots of them.
They were walking down the hill toward the river. The town was in back of them. The sun had gone under, and it was sprinkling rain.
There,
said Perduzzi, pointing to a girl in the doorway of a house they passed.
My daughter.
His doctor, the wife said. Has he got to show us his doctor?
He said his daughter, said the young gentleman. The girl went into the house as Perduzzi pointed.
They walked down the hill across the fields and then turned to follow the river bank. Perduzzi talked rapidly with much winking and knowingness. As they walked 3 abreast, the wife caught his breath across the wind. Once he nudged her in the ribs. Part of the time he talked in Dampezzo dialect and sometimes in Tiroler German dialect. He could not make out which the young gentleman and his wife understood the best, so he was being bilingual. But as the young gentleman said, yeah, yeah, Perduzzi decided to talk altogether in Tiroler. The young gentleman and the wife understood nothing.
Everybody in the town saw us going through with these rods. We're probably being followed by the game police now. I wish we weren't in on this damn thing. This damned old fool is so drunk, too.
Of course, you haven't got the guts to just go back, said the wife. Of course, you have to go on.
Well, why don't you go back? Go on back, Tiny.
I'm going to stay with you. If you go to jail, we might as well both go. They turned sharp down the bank, and Perduzzi stood, his coat blowing in the wind, gesturing at the river. It was brown and muddy. Off on the right, there was a dump heap.
Say it to me in Italian, said the young gentleman. Un mezz'ora. Più d'un mezz'ora.
He says it's at least a half an hour more. Go on back, Tiny. You're cold in this wind, anyway. It's a rotten day, and we aren't going to have any fun, anyway. All right, she said, and climbed up the grassy bank.
Perduzzi was down at the river and did not notice her till she was almost out of sight over the crest.
Frau, he shouted. Frau, Fraulein, you're not going.
She went on over the crest of the hill.
She's gone, said Perduzzi.
It shocked him. He took off the rubber bands that held the rod segments together and commenced to joint up one of the rods.
But you said it was half an hour further.
Oh, yes. It is good half an hour down. It is good here, too.
Really?
Of course, it's good here and good there, too.
The young gentleman sat down on the bank and jointed up a rod, put on the reel, and threaded the line through the guides. He felt uncomfortable and afraid that any minute a gamekeeper or a posse of citizens would come over the bank from the town. He could see the houses of the town and the campanile over the edge of the hill. He opened his leader box. Perduzzi leaned over and dug his flat, hard thumb and forefinger in and tangled the moistened leaders.
Have you some lead?
No.
You must have some lead.
Perduzzi was excited.
You must have piombo. Piombo, a little piombo. Just here, just above the hook on your bait will float on the water. You must have it. Just a little piombo.
Have you got some?
No.
He looked through his pockets desperately, sifting through the cloth dirt in the linings of his inside military pockets.
I haven't any.
We must have a biombo.
We can't fish, then, said the young gentleman, and unjointed the rod, reeling the line back through the guides. We'll get some piombo and fish tomorrow.
But listen, Caro, you must have a piombo. The line will lie flat on the water.
Peduzzi's day was going to pieces before his eyes.
You must have piombo. A little is enough. Your stuff is all clean and new, but you have no lead. I would have brought some. You said you had everything.
The young gentleman looked at the stream, discolored by the melting snow. I know, he said. We'll get some piombo and fish tomorrow.
At what hour in the morning? Tell me that.
At 7. The sun came out. It was warm and pleasant. The young gentleman felt relieved. He was no longer breaking the law. Sitting on the bank, he took the bottle of Marsala out of his pocket and passed it to Peduzzi. Peduzzi passed it back. The young gentleman took a drink of it and passed it to Peduzzi again. Peduzzi passed it back again.
Drink, he said. Drink, it's your Marsala.
After another short drink, the young gentleman handed the bottle over. Peduzzi had been watching it closely. He took the bottle very hurriedly and tipped it up. The gray hairs in the folds of his neck oscillated as he drank, his eyes fixed on the end of the narrow brown bottle. He drank it all. The sun shone while he drank. It was wonderful. This was a great day after all. Wonderful day.
Senta, Caro. In the morning, at 7.
He had called the young gentleman Caro several times, and nothing had happened. It was good Marsala. His eyes glistened. Days like this stretched out ahead. It would begin at 7 in the morning. They started to walk up the hill toward the town. The young gentleman went on ahead. He was quite a way up the hill. Peduzzi called to him.
Listen, Caro, can you let me take 5 lire for a favor?
For today? Asked the young gentleman, frowning.
No, not today. Give it to me today for tomorrow. I will provide everything for tomorrow. Pane, salami, formaggio, good stuff for all of us. You and I and the signora. Bait for fishing. Minnows, not worms only. Perhaps I can get some Marsala. All for 5 lire. 5 lire for a favor.
The young gentleman looked through his pocketbook and took out a 2 lire note and 2 ones.
Thank you, Caro, thank you, said Peduzzi, in the tone of one member of the Carlton Club accepting the Morning Post from another.
This was living. He was through with the hotel garden, breaking up frozen manure with a dung fork. Life was opening out.
Until 7 o'clock, then, Caro, he said, slapping the young gentleman on the back. Promptly at 7.
I may not be going, said the young gentleman, putting his purse back in his pocket.
What? Said Peduzzi. I will have minnows, signor. Salami, everything. You and I and the signora, the 3 of us.
I may not be going, said the young gentleman. Very probably not. I will leave word with the padrone at the hotel office. Chapter 12. If it happened right down close in front of you, you could see Villalta snarl at the bull and curse him, and when the bull charged, he swung back firmly like an oak when the wind hits at his legs tight together, the muleta trailing and the sword following the curve behind. Then he cursed the bull, flopped the muleta at him, and swung back from the charge, his feet firm, the muleta curving, and at each swing the crowd roaring. When he started to kill, it was all in the same rush, the bull looking at him straight in front, hating. He drew out the sword from the folds of the muleta and sighted with the same movement and called to the bull, Toro! Toro! And the bull charged, and Villalta charged, and just for a moment they became one. Villalta became one with the bull, and then it was over. Villalta standing straight and the red hilt of the sword sticking out dully between the bull's shoulders. Villalta, his hand up at the crowd and the bull, roaring blood, looking straight at Villalta, and his legs caving.